I join with Mr. Park tonight once again and welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming. And we look to the Lord for his blessing as we open the scriptures together. And we pray that God will indeed just use the preaching of the word for the glory and the honor of his lovely and his precious name. I want you to open your Bibles just with a few verses from God's word this evening. First of all, we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the verses, we're going to read together verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Let's follow the reading of God's precious, infallible word. It says there, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from tradition or by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And then turn to the book of Ephesians, back in the book of Ephesians, and we turn to the chapter 1 of Ephesians, and the verse number 7, and it says these words, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And finally, we turn to 1 John and the chapter 1, and it is the verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, and the verse number 7, it says this, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. O God, we pray that thou wilt, by thy Holy Spirit, bring conviction of sin, and this night bring salvation to the hearts of those that are still without your lovely Son. O, we thank thee for the grand old message of the gospel. We thank thee for there's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Help us, Lord, to preach thy word tonight and glorify Jesus in the exalting of his name. For we pray in Jesus' precious name alone. Amen and amen. You know, no matter how many times that you come to preach the story of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always something of beautiful and something of great wonder in the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And the subject of redemption tonight can only be fully comprehended whenever we think about and we emphasize the greatness of the Redeemer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want tonight to bring a message that God has laid on my heart, and I want to preach upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed, thank God, for me. When we come to the scriptures of holy truth, we find that from 9 a.m. in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there upon the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ made a once for all, never to be repeated sacrifice for sin forever. And whenever you come to the scriptures, friend, when you open the book of Genesis, from that time in Eden's garden when God called out to Adam in grace and provided a cover for his nakedness, thank God we read the story of the shedding of the blood. And the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." There is no remission of sin. And to understand how that a just and a holy God can be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus, we must come afresh to the cross
of Calvary itself and the story of redemption through the blood. I want you to turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 27. And I want you to notice as we turn in your Bibles, I want you to open it please and follow if you can. In this passage of God's Word, there's something about the blood of Jesus. In this passage of God's Word, because what you'll find is this, that the blood of Christ is constantly on the minds of individuals and the crowds of people. The blood of Jesus Christ is emphasized over and over again in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. If you turn with me to verse number 3, it says this, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying," listen to what he said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And there we find that even though Judas Iscariot, after he had taken his 30 pieces of silver, the blood of Christ was upon Judas's mind. The Bible said that whenever he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. And the word there simply means that he regretted, he was sorry, he had remorse that led him to despair. And you know the end of the story, because it tells us in verse 5, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He departed and he went and he hanged himself." He had sold Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he had the privilege of listening to and watching doing the miracles and heard him as he preached the word and he saw him as he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. And yet he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. You see, Judas was the thief. Judas was the man that kept the bag. And all he could think about was the money. And somehow he believed that if he could gather the money together, that it would satisfy the longing in his heart. And he took the 30 pieces of silver, friend. And I can see him going out from the chief priests and the scribes as he takes the 30 pieces of silver, believing that it would bring him satisfaction. And something happened as he looked upon those 30 pieces of silver, friend. There was a guilt that came into his very soul. And somehow, some way, he realized as he looked on the 30 pieces of silver, he realized he was condemned. And he was sorry. He regretted what he had done. He had remorse and despair in his heart. And the Bible says he came back in and he threw down the 30 pieces of silver. And you know when he threw down the 30 pieces of silver? He said in verse 4, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said to him, what's that to us? The very people that had encouraged him to sell the Savior, to betray the blessed Son of God. And whenever he realized he was condemned, they said, what's that to us? They cast him aside as if he didn't count. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. In other words, you're in your own position, you're in your own circumstances, you're condemned, but there's nothing we want to do for you. And they cast him off. Friend, that's exactly what the world will do. My, the world will encourage men and women to turn their back on Christ. The world will tell you, don't come to Jesus. Don't give your heart to Christ. And yet, friend, when the world's finished with you, they'll let you go to hell. They'll let you be damned for all eternity. The thing that he promised him to give him satisfaction, he has nothing else, only guilt. And he throws the 30 pieces down. He says he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And he cried out. He said, I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And friend, they said, what's that to us? And he regretted it. He regretted what he did. Let me tell you, friend, he regrets it in hell tonight. He regrets it for all eternity. What a fool! What an awful fool I was for 30 simple pieces of silver to sell the blessed Son of God. And he realized he was condemned. There was no place of pardon. There was no place of repentance. There was no relief from his guilt. He said, I have sinned. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And friend, he went to hell. And down there he lives. He exists in regret. No escape from the guilt. And friend, I'll tell you, he remembers still. Do you remember the scriptures in Luke's Gospel chapter 16? Some remember. Remember. Down in hell, Judas Iscariot remembers 30 pieces of silver. That's what you sold Christ for. That's what you damned your soul for. That's what you went to hell for. 30 pieces. 30 miserable pieces of silver. And it promised you satisfaction. It promised you happiness. And all it gives you is condemnation. All it gives you is hell. All it gives you is sorrow. All it gives is regret. And I'll tell you, friends, be honest before God. You see that sin that you love tonight? You see that sin that's keeping you away from Jesus Christ? You see that sin that you're holding to your breast? And now you realize you need to be saved. You realize that except you're born again, you'll be in hell. But you love your sin too much. I'll tell you, you remember that sin that damned you. And you'll curse that sin for all eternity. And you'll go to hell with regret. But the sad reality is this. There was no way back. There was no escape from the pit which he had digged. There's no way back from the hell that he descended into. Friend, there was no way back from the regret. The regret that he felt and the remorse he felt and the pain and the sorrow he felt and the despair he felt. I'll tell you how despairing he was. The Bible tells us he went out and he committed suicide. He hanged himself. What an awful tragedy. Here's a man that sat with Jesus, friend. Here's a man that saw the miracles of Christ. Here's a man that heard the Savior beckon the sinners to come. And he would give them rest. And yet the Bible tells us he went out. And he went out and he hanged himself, miserable. And he went to his own place. He went to hell. But friend, as he went to hell, let me tell you, the blood was on his mind. He says, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. What an awful thing to go to hell, friend, and to think of the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. And you walked it underfoot. And you despised it. And you counted it as nothing. And you turned your back upon the Son of God and go again to a Christless eternity and down there in hell. Like Judas Iscariot, to groan in the pains of hell with memory. 30 pieces of silver, the innocent blood of Christ. Yes, the blood was on his mind. But go a wee bit further in the scriptures, friend. Just go on down to verse 6. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of what? It is the price of blood. You see, not only had Judas now blood on his mind, so they had too. They were thinking about the blood. And whose blood were they thinking about? They were thinking about the blood of Christ. And they said, it's not lawful for us to take these pieces of silver and to put it into the treasury because it was the price of blood. Verse 7, and they took counsel. And they bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called what? It was called the field of blood until this day. And once again we see now not only Judas thinking about the blood. The chief priests have the blood of Christ on their mind because they knew that that was the price of blood. You notice the hypocrisy here, friend. Notice the hypocrisy of these high priests, these chief priests. They were more concerned about putting an innocent man to death. It didn't bother them that they were putting Christ to death. No, that wasn't what bothered them. It didn't bother them at all about shedding the blood of Christ. But it bothered them to take the money back and put it into the treasury, because we can't do that. It would be unlawful for us to do it, because they knew it was the price of blood. And so they decided, after taking counsel, that they would buy a potter's field. And the potter's field, of course, you know the potter. They would take the clay off, because the potter would mold the clay. And so the potters would take the clay off the field. They would strip the field. And without the clay, the field would be valueless. It would be useless. And so they bought the potter's field with 30 pieces of silver, the price of blood. And yet, friend, the tragedy is this. That here we find the chief priests, here we find the religious men, and they were satisfied that they could quiet their guilty conscience about taking the money. But we can't put it into the treasure. They would quiet their conscience for a little while, because they would buy a potter's field to bury the strangers in. Let me tell you this, my friend. Down in hell, those chief priests remember the 30 pieces of silver that they couldn't put in the treasury. But they bought the potter's field. Oh yes, they bought the potter's field, but they sold their souls. And friend, let me tell you this. You might get enriched with earth's goods. Ah yes, you might gather together earth's goods. And you might be enriched yourself. But I'll tell you this. What a fool to sell your soul. 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, is what they sold. And I can hear people say, preacher, what a fool. What a fool for Judas Iscariot to sell the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Let me ask you a question, friend. What are you selling the Lord for? Is some of you selling them for far less than 30 pieces of silver? Is some of you selling your soul, friend, for a glass of booze? Is some of you selling your soul for another night of the dance? Is some of you selling your soul, my friend, for another night of the games? There's things that are standing between you and Christ. Tell me, whose fool are you? Selling your precious soul. What shall it profit a man, even if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But friend, you're not getting even a part of it. A fraction, Lord. And yet you're losing your precious, precious soul. The blood of Christ was upon Judas's mind. And he couldn't get away from the guilt. And he hanged himself. The blood of Christ was upon the chief priest's mind. But they thought they would salve their conscience. They would buy a field to bury strangers. And weren't they so good? Weren't they so thoughtful? For 30 pieces of silver, for which the Savior would be betrayed for. But go on down the chapter. They're not only the ones with the blood of Christ in their mind. Go to verse number 24. And when you come to verse 24, it says, Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, listen, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Now here's another man with the blood on his mind. You see, he can't get away from the blood of Christ. And here's this man, Pilate, he was the governor. The Bible tells us that even the governor is now concerned about the blood of Christ. You see, Pilate knew that Christ was innocent. He knew that he was a sinless Christ. He had done nothing amiss. In verse number 2, what evil had he done? He knew that this was the guiltless Christ. Say, well, why? Why would Pilate send Christ to the cross if he was innocent? Friend, I'll tell you why. The crowd. You know, friend, let me tell you, that's why men and women are rejecting the Son of God. That's why men and women are dying in their sin. Oh yes, Pilate protested. He protested. He said, what evil hath he done? He said, but listen, whom shall I release unto you? Barabbas! The terrorist or Jesus? Hoping that they would say Christ. What evil hath he done? He knew he was guiltless. And the people cried out, let him be crucified. But you know, Pilate knew in his heart that this was wrong. And then the crowd pulled the crafty one. The crowd said, Pilate, you just remember this. If thou let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And Pilate remembered. He owed his position to Caesar. And so for his position, friend, Pilate let Jesus go to the cross to please the crowd. Why are you not saved tonight? We asked the question already in the mission. Is it the crowd? You afraid what others will say? You afraid of what the workmates will say? Is it your position? What would I do, preacher? What would I do with my position? I wouldn't be Caesar's friend. I would lose my position. Let me tell you this. 10,000 times better to lose your position than lose your soul. Which is the most precious to you? And Pilate has in his mind the blood of Christ. You know, his wife sent for him. She says, Pilate, have thou nothing to do with this just man? I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. Pilate, I beg you, have nothing to do. And then Pilate thought he would do a fly thing. He brought a basin. And he remembered in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament that if somebody was killed in the field, and the people knew nothing about it, and they were guiltless of the killing, and they didn't see it, never mind know about it, what they could do was this, they could wash their hands. And so Pilate sends for the basin, and he said, I'm going to wash my hands in front of you. You see, listen, I'm guiltless. Let me tell you, friend, Pilate knew all about it. Pilate was not guiltless. Pilate knew why they were delivering Jesus to be crucified. Pilate knew that Christ was innocent. Pilate knew, even with the words of his dear wife, she begged him, don't have anything to do with him. And Pilate listened to the crowd. And then, willing to please the people, what did the Bible say? After he washed his hands, and he said, I'm innocent. This is what the Bible said. Go down to verse number 26. Then released he, who's the he? Pilate. Then released he, Barabbas, unto them. And when he, that's Pilate again, had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Oh yes, he said, I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the blood of this man. Friend, let me tell you, Pilate had the blood on his mind. But he was only fooling himself. And friend, you can say whatever you like tonight. You can say, preacher, I'm innocent of the blood of Christ. But remember this. You'll carry the guilt and the stain of your sin if you reject the Son of God. The sin's yours. Oh, you may listen to the crowd. You may listen to the family. You may listen to others. But I tell you this, you carry the guilt. You stand at a crossroads, two ways before you lie. And each a choice must make, one upward to the sky and one downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each soul must answer yes and no. Oh yes, he says, I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the blood. But after he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. But you know, that's not all. Look at the verse of Scripture again. What does it say there? Go to verse 25. After Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood. Verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us. See, the crowd now was thinking about the blood. Judas, what bothered him? The blood. The chief priest, what bothered him? The blood. Pilate, what bothered him? The blood. The crowd, what bothers him? The blood of Christ. Faced with the blood of Jesus. And the crowd foolishly said to them something that they will regret in hell. They said this, his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, they deliberately said it, friend. But they paid the awful price. I want us to think tonight about the blood of Jesus. And I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We read the verse over there in 1 Peter tonight. And it says this, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. There's the priority of the blood. The priority of the blood. You're not redeemed. The word redeemed means to buy back or set free by paying a price. And we find here that Peter is saying, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, you're not redeemed, but by the precious blood of Christ. You have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed for what? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1 verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Revelation chapter 5, 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every nation and every kindred and tongue and people and nation. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Redemption, what has it got to do with? What has he redeemed us from? He has redeemed us with his precious blood, but he has redeemed us from our sins, the forgiveness of sins. He has redeemed us, cleansed us, pardoned us, forgiven us for our sins through his blood. Sad to say, the pulpits are silent about what he has redeemed us from. The pulpits are silent about the blood of Jesus. You don't often hear preachers preach that anymore. Even so-called evangelical preachers, it seems to be that the blood is away to the side. It's not important anymore. I want to tell you, friend, you're redeemed not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And if a man preaches a bloodless gospel, he's not preaching the gospel at all. He may have the name of a gospel preacher. But if he's not preaching the blood of Christ, remember, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Your sins will never be pardoned, friend. Your sins will never be taken away except through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Ah, yes, the blood's not mentioned. Sin's not mentioned. That's why preachers stand in the pulpit today in the same, instead of getting men and women to the cross and getting them washed white, the preachers stand in the pulpit and they whitewash. Ah, you're not so bad after all. Let me tell you this, my friend. You and I in our sin weren't bad after all. We were totally rotten. We're totally rotten. And if there's a man or woman in this meeting tonight thinks that you're going to get to heaven through your good works, I want to tell you, you're a full-blooded candidate for hell. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. You can't defy God's word, friend. You don't get to heaven by working your way there. You get to heaven by resting your soul upon a work that's already done. Thank God, the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's the only way to heaven. David cried in the Psalms. He said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. You say, what's that to do with me? David sinned an awful sin. Yes, he did, friend. And you have sinned as equal an awful sin. For you have lived your life to this night without Jesus Christ. You have sinned the sin of Christ's rejection. And you're walking away from God and His pardon and His grace and His love. And David cried, he said, I have sinned. I've sinned. Thank God he got pardoned for his sin. You know why? Because he faced up to it. He said, I have sinned. He didn't say somebody, didn't say Bathsheba. He says, I have sinned. God, the sin's mine. Do you remember whenever God came to Adam in the garden in the cool of the day, the voice of the Lord, God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and God said, Adam, where art thou? And then God says, Adam, what are you doing? You know what he said? He says, God, the woman, she gave me, and I did eat. God, is her fault. Some of you men hiding behind the skirt of your wife while you're not seeing. Is that what you're hiding? Come on, man, in God's name, I'll tell you, you'll not have that to hide in the day of judgment. God, the woman, she gave me. She didn't ram it down his throat, friend. And then he had the audacity to turn to God Almighty, and this is what he said. God, the woman that thou didst give me. God, it's not only her fault, it's your fault too. You gave me her. And I did eat. Let me tell you, David said, God, I've sinned. The sin's mine. And you'll never be pardoned, man. You'll never be pardoned, woman. I say this honestly with all my heart to you, because I'm answerable to God for the faithfulness of my message tonight. I'm saying to you honestly before God, you'll never know the cleansing power of the blood of Christ to your soul until, first of all, you admit you're a sinner. That's the first step. Admit your sin. If you don't want to take that first step, I want to tell you, you'll never be in heaven. As sure there's a God in heaven, you will never be there until, first of all, you humble yourself before God and say, God, I have sinned. And David cried that out to God, and then he says, God, wash me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. He says, God, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And praise God, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Oh, I'll tell you, the Lord will answer your cry tonight. If you humble yourself and take your place as a sinner, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is a great Savior. And He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. You know, to get delivered from our sin, we need to come to the blood. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at the Savior, friend, He humbled Himself and He took upon Himself of a man, and He stepped out into this world, and He walked sinlessly amongst man. He lived a spotless life upon the earth. But you're not redeemed with the spotless life of Christ. You know, my friend, if you look at the scriptures, you'll find that in John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, the love of Christ, but I tell you this, you're not redeemed with the love of Christ. Although the love of Christ Thank God took the Savior from heaven's glory and put him on the cross. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, flowing like the mighty ocean in his fullness over me. But the Bible says we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus Christ had to die the death. He shed his precious blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." The priority of the blood of Jesus. And friend, throughout this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see the red ruby cord of the Savior's blood. And all the types and symbols of the Old Testament. And then he came and shed his blood for you and for me. There's the priority of the blood. Secondly, the preciousness of the blood. Because notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Oh, that's the precious things, isn't it? That's what men and women, let me tell you, men and women are selling their soul for silver and gold. To them, it's the silver and the gold that's precious. Men and women crave after it. And they desire more. Now, it is true, friend. The silver and gold, it's nice to go shopping with. Let's be honest. And we all like our part of it, but I'll tell you this. You're not redeemed. You're not bought with silver or gold. Because all the treasuries of the world, friend, could never be sufficient to buy your soul. All the exchequers of the world having sufficient finances to pay the price of your precious soul. What did Judas say? He says, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed." Notice the words. The innocent blood. It was the precious blood of Jesus. Notice the preciousness of the blood of Christ, friend. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. And in Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle seeks to display the superiority of Christ's sacrifice over every other priest. For the priest offered continually, and after he had killed one lamb, another was needed. After the scapegoat was driven into the wilderness, another scapegoat was needed and was necessary the next year. But notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Go down to verse 11, or verse 4. "But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," that's Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Why did he sit down? Thank God, because the work was finished. This man. It's the blood of Christ. He shed his precious blood. Look at verse 14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood, by a new and a living way." Go back to chapter 7. Time's quickly going. Chapter 7 of that same book of Hebrews. Look at verse 27. It says this, "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, For this he did once when he offered up himself. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. Look at verse number 11. But Christ, being common high priest of good things to come, by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God, there's the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. It's not the blood of angels. It was not the blood of seraphims. It was only the blood of Jesus that could cleanse us from our sin. Thirdly, quickly, the power of the blood. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not the blood plus the sacrament. It's not the blood plus the church. It's not the blood plus good works. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The hymn writer said, what can wash away my stain? Nothing. Oh, if it stopped there, wouldn't that be a tragedy? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Pharisees tried their works, and Judas tried his weeping, and Pilate tried his water. But thank God, though they all failed, we don't have to try the blood. Praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's his promise. And tonight you've come into this meeting, friend, and God knows your heart, I don't. God knows you're standing before him. God knows what sins are staining your soul. But I want to tell you tonight, God can cleanse you. You can be clean, clean through the blood. Some years ago, a man in New York who had lived a sinful life, he had been a wicked sinner. Thank God, in the grace of God, God gloriously saved him. When he came to die, he said to those of his friends who were gathered down, I have one request. On my tombstone, will you place my name and the date of my birth and the date of my death? You put one word, forgiven. Forgiven. Tonight, let me tell you, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, friends, you might have walked the darkest part of the road on your way to hell. Men and women might frown at you when they see you. They may even pass you on the street and never speak because they don't want to be associated with you. I want to tell you this. Christ receiveth sinful men. I have good news for you. The Savior won't pass on the other side. He's a Savior ready to pardon. He's a Savior ready to save. And here's my last thought. We've talked about the priority of the blood. We've talked about the preciousness of the blood. We've talked about the power of the blood. But I don't want to leave you without telling you this. The peace of the blood. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, it opens with great words. It says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You said, but it doesn't mention the blood there, preacher. Justified by faith, but it doesn't mention the blood. I'll just go to verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Thank God you can be saved from wrath. You can be saved from hell. Man, listen to me. I've got good news. You can be saved from hell. The devil may say there's no hope for you. The devil may say God has no time for you. I want to tell you, you can be saved from wrath through Him. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. You can be saved. The story's told of Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria used to, often she visited the humble and the poor. And on one occasion it's told that she went to a lonely cottage. And she visited this lonely cottage, and inside this little cottage there was just a dear wee woman. She was a happy believer in Christ. The Queen came to her home and made her way and sat down in her humble dwelling. And as she was used to doing, the Queen would offer to do something for those whom she visited. And she asked the dear old lady, was there anything that she as Queen could do for her? The wee lady looked at Her Majesty and said, Your Majesty, I have everything I want, thank you, Your Majesty. But you know, the Queen didn't stop there. For Queen Victoria said that she would like to do something for her. And she said, I'd love to do something for you, said the Queen. The old lady looked at Her Majesty and said, I have all I need, thank you. But if Your Majesty please, there's one thing. If you would do for me, I would be very glad. The Queen sat up to hear. She said, I shall do it. If I can. The only old lady looked at the Queen of England and she said these words, for Your Majesty, if you would just promise to meet me in heaven, that's all I want. It is recorded that the Queen of England looked at that old lady and these are the words she replied, softly yet firmly, I shall do that in virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, meet me in heaven. And the Queen of England could honestly say, I will do that by virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Luke chapter 7. It's a story of a woman who came to the feet of Jesus. She was a sinful woman. She lived in the depths of sin, for she was a harlot. She heard that Jesus was in this house, and she wandered in, and the Savior was lying upon the seat, and as he lay there on that couch, eating at the table, his feet were out to the back of the seat. As he lay there upon that couch, as they did in the days of Christ. And there that woman quietly made her way to the feet of Jesus. She dare not look in his face. She had looked into the face of many a man and led him down the path of sin. But she walked silently to the feet of Christ. She knelt down. The Bible says she washed his feet with her tears. And she stood in the very presence of the Savior. That woman who walked the dark side of the road on her way to hell. She knelt there with brokenness of heart. When I was in Israel, one of the men that were showing us about the Jews said there wouldn't have been sufficient tears for that woman to just weep and wash the feet of Christ. But what they used to do in Bible times, they used to gather their tears And when they would cry, they would get their tears and they would squeeze out of the hand, they'd squeeze the tears into a bottle. The psalmist talks about that, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And he said, you know, I believe, he said, you know, that woman, when she knelt at the feet of Jesus Christ, the guide said she would reach into her pocket. And there in her pocket, she would pull out a bottle of cold tears of the past. Oh, the world thought that she was happy. But sin had its price and broke her heart. And she took the cold tears of the past and she poured them upon the feet of Jesus. And she knelt there, and the warm, scorching tears of a broken heart of the present. And she mingled the cold and the warm, and she washed the feet of Christ. And she took that hair that had led many a man astray, and she dried his feet with her hair. You know, Jesus said to that woman something. He says, woman, thy sins, which are many. Yes, the Lord knew her heart. And friend, there's no use you trying to cover up your sin tonight. I tell you, God knows exactly your heart. Every sin you've ever committed, in the dark or in the light, God knows our hearts, our lives. And he said, woman, thy sins, which are many, listen to this, are forgiven thee. And then he said three words that that woman never heard before. He said, go in peace. That's the peace of the blood, friend. For thank God, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Woman, your sins, which are many, they're forgiven. And she went home that night. And I don't know whether she had an upstairs she climbed or whether it was just into a back room. And for the first time in her life, she put her head on the pillow, knowing something she never experienced before. She experienced peace with God through the blood of his cross. Thank God there's power in the blood tonight. Aye, and there's peace in the blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You say, could God save me, preacher? Thank God he can. Is God able to forgive my past? Look at it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God he'll not only forgive them, thank God he'll forget them. All under the blood. Let me ask you a simple question to close tonight. Will you come as a sinner? Honestly, openly? Will you come as a sinner to Jesus? Take your place as a guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner. And come to Christ. And by faith rest your soul upon that finished work of his cross. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Thank God you can go home forgiven. Forgiven. And not matter what people think about you. They may think you're mad. But praise God in your soul, you'll be glad. Peace with God. He gives me peace. Even in the midst of a storm. Praise his name.